WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Even before we know the effect of Thanksgiving gatherings, COVID-19 cases continue to surge in our area, particularly in Harrisonburg. Email records show that the governor's office worked closely behind the scenes with Virginia's parole board to withhold or censor information about alleged misconduct on the board. And after sweeping police reform passes in Virginia, how much will actually change for local residents and officers, and where should we go from here? This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, December 2nd. The number of new cases of COVID-19 is increasing in much of our area, and it's still too early to tell if family gatherings on Thanksgiving will lead to a further spike in cases. Harrisonburg still ranks near the top in concentration of the disease statewide, with about 65 cases per 1,000 residents in Harrisonburg. That's the fourth highest concentration in Virginia behind Galax, Greensville County, and Franklin City, according to the Virginia Public Access Project. As of Tuesday, Harrisonburg's case count was 3,482, according to the Virginia Department of Health. In the Central Shenandoah Health District, which covers the area from Rockingham County and Harrisonburg to Lexington and Bath and Highland counties, case numbers increased over the last month and reached a single-day high last Saturday. So far, hospital bed capacity is handling the surge. The occupancy of beds in intensive care units overall is about 74%, not including surge beds, according to the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association. More than 4,000 Virginians have died from the disease, and that's a number more than the entire population of the town of Broadway. Email records show that Governor Ralph Northam's office worked closely behind the scenes with Virginia's parole board to withhold or censor information about alleged misconduct on the board. The Virginia Mercury reports that the state inspector general's office had prepared a report in July which concluded that the board had violated state law and its own victim notification procedures while granting parole to an inmate convicted of killing a Richmond police officer in 1979. But before releasing the report, records show the IG's office sent Northam's administration an advance notice that the document would be distributed around July 24th to journalists who had requested it under the Freedom of Information Act. The Mercury reports that appeared to set off a chain of events that would delay the report's release and end with the redaction of nearly everything in it. Republican General Assembly leaders contend that the parole board disregarded its own rules on allowing dissenting opinions about parole decisions, and they have accused the administration of attempting to cover up investigations into the parole board. The economic effects of the pandemic continue to reverberate throughout Virginia's economy. Some industries have been particularly hard hit. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Virginia's leisure and hospitality industry fell off a cliff when the pandemic hit last spring. Employment numbers for April 2020 were 42% lower than April 2019. Since that time, though, the numbers have been slowly crawling back toward normal. But Terry Clower at George Mason University says the recovery has stalled.
What has happened that since midsummer, our gains have been maybe 2,000 or 1,500 or 1,600, something like that. It's not been nearly as big of a recovery in the last few months.
Now that the infection rate is going up and states across the country are implementing new restrictions, Eric Terry at the Virginia Restaurant, Lodging, and Travel Association says he expects things to get worse before they get better.
Unfortunately, I think with the governor's most recent order, we've had a lot of cancellations occur in many areas. So I think in actuality, our November numbers are probably going to be even worse.
He says the Restaurant, Lodging, and Travel Association will be pressing lawmakers to avoid new requirements to give employees paid leave or a higher minimum wage, at least until the economy recovers in 2021 or 2022. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, in October, Governor Ralph Northam signed into law an omnibus police reform bill that establishes a number of statewide standards for law enforcement, training, and conduct. But how much will actually change for local residents and officers, and where should we go from here? WMRA's Randy Behage reports.
The newly adopted legislation incorporates more than a dozen Virginia House and Senate bills, which include new training standards, banning no-knock warrants, and limiting the use of chokeholds and other neck restraints. Gabriel Camacho is the interim chief of the Harrisonburg Police Department. He says HPD is ahead of most of these changes. One example is their Integrating Communications Assessments and Tactics, or ICAT training, which every officer in the department has now taken.
We made sure that we were ahead as far as an extra tool for our officers to deal with de-escalation. That was definitely a priority for us.
Camacho said the reforms helped to
establish that accountability, trust, and legitimacy and confidence with our residents and with our community.
He says other reforms, such as the restrictions on military-grade equipment, won't affect the department. Camacho also said that, to his knowledge, HPD has no history of using no-knock warrants, and the department had already added a clause to its use of force policy back in June, instructing officers to intervene when they see another officer using force that is, quote, beyond reasonable on any citizen.
Maybe I'm taking it for granted, but that should always be a standard.
That's a sentiment I heard from activists as well, that a lot of these standards should have already been in place.
I think it's something that should have been dealt with a long time ago, just like this entire country should have dealt with our racist past and present a long time ago.
Addison Tucker is an anti-racist activist studying restorative justice at Eastern Mennonite University's Center for Justice and Peacebuilding.
And I think it's actually kind of bittersweet that we're just now passing bills like this.
I also spoke with a local resident with a unique perspective from both sides of the law. Years ago, Joe Dudash was a guard at the Shenandoah Valley Juvenile Center and a patrolman at Western State before falling on hard times.
Pretty much a lot of injuries. I moved back to Harrisonburg, went through a divorce, and just things were going pretty rough. And I was actually locked up there for a while. I spent 15 months in jail. I caught a drug charge, and I was, you know, using pain meds pretty bad at the time.
When Dudash says a lot of injuries led him to using painkillers, keep in mind that includes a broken shoulder, a broken neck, and several surgeries over the years.
I have more metal in me than you could, you know, probably make a handgun with, except minus a spring.
Dudash said that the correctional officers at the Rockingham-Harrisonburg Regional Jail treated the inmates fairly and without favoritism.
Well, I found most of the time, like in Harrisonburg and Augusta County, most of the officers around here are pretty fair and decent. And even the sheriff's department, hell, the other day I got picked up by one. He saw me limping really bad and he just gave me a ride home.
As far as reforms are concerned, he thinks local law enforcement is already doing a good job.
Well, I think everybody should thank an officer, at least daily, or wave. Instead of looking at them as an opposing force, they should be treated with, you know, dignity and respect they deserve because they risk their butts. I mean, it's as scary as anything when you roll up on a call and you have no idea what you're actually dealing with.
Community organizer Stan Macklin has been working to facilitate dialogues between local residents and law enforcement through the People's Equality Commission of the Shenandoah Valley, or PECO for short. He was heartened by many of the reforms, including those that empower civilian law enforcement review boards.
It gives the citizenry some opportunity in making a difference. No longer is it just law and order. It really now can be to help to empower law enforcement officers to serve and to protect.
To this end, Macklin and PECO are working to get local residents on the Community Criminal Justice Board, which is primarily composed of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County officials and representatives from law enforcement and the courts.
Having these laws on the books is good, but they have to be enforced and to be carried out. And so I'm really excited about the Citizen Review Board because hopefully they can help to monitor and to help to facilitate a lot of these important new laws. I want to commend the governor and the legislators for these needed reforms. I think that criminal justice has been aching for something like this for quite some time, and I'm glad that Virginia has stepped up along with other states to make a difference.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can learn more about that story at WMRA.org and on the app. In a follow-up report, we will check in with the relatively new Charlottesville Civilian Review Board to see how it's been working. That'll be coming up in the next few weeks. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.